Hello, everyone. We're going to look at worldviews, how different people see reality. First off, we're going to define what is a worldview. But before we do that, we're going to basically start by locating the session in the scope of other sessions. We're also going to look at the relevance to us. We're also going to connect worldviews to life. And then also we're going to get to the crux or the heart of the matter. We're going to look at a Bible passage, and then we're going to do discussions. And then let's locate the session. In section one, you basically look at the nature of God and the qualities of God. Who is God and what does he want from us? And secondly, in the second session, then it was understanding about ourselves. How can we live good and meaningful lives in light of our understanding who God is? And then in this session, we're basically going to look at understanding of the world. What is reality and our impact for good? So let's look at the relevance of worldviews. Worldviews give meaning to life. They help us connect with God and also with ourselves. Also, they also help us to engage the world around us. Also, they help us to be able to see the spiritual and material reality that is around us. And also, I want to look at a quote where Dallas Willard says that reality is that which we cannot avoid. He also says that faith does not ignore reality, but rather it engages it. And also, let's continue to look at the relevance of worldviews. Oh, realities come in some unexpected manner. Sometimes it hits us like a cup of cold water that splashes in our face. It is because the spiritual and material worlds are greater than we can ever comprehend. And also, a building, if you look at an example of a building is confined to space, but reality is not. And also, different people relate to reality or worldview in a very different manner. Okay, now let's connect worldviews to real life. We have to define what a worldview is. I'm going to read a few definitions for you so that we can get to understand what it is. Let's look at the first one. A worldview is an ideology, a philosophy, a theology, a movement or religion that provides an overarching approach to understanding God, the world, and man's relations to God and the world. This is a definition by Noble. Let's look at the second one. A worldview is how one views or interprets reality. It is a framework or paradigm that determines what sense one makes of the data of life. Now, I want to basically get into this. You can see that here, it's how you interpret life. You have data around you, and then you make a worldview because you're connecting your worldview to real life. Now, let's look at the third one. A worldview is a commitment, a fundamental orientation of the heart that can be expressed as a story or a set of presuppositions which we hold about the basic constitution of reality, and that it provides the foundation on which we live and move and have our being. This is a definition by Sire. You can see here that it's a fundamental orientation of who we are, that we get a worldview by the time we are little children, and the way we grow up, we just basically got orientated to what a worldview is. So we can be able to connect then a worldview to real life. Okay, let's continue defining or connecting a worldview to real life. A worldview is basically what the term suggests, a view of the world, how we view the world, how we see the world, how we connect to the world, how we interpret the world. And also, it can be broad and held by a group of like-minded people. So you get a group of people, probably from a community or an area or a country for that matter, that actually have a worldview that is connected one way or the other. It can be personal, containing elements of various worldviews. So what happens in a worldview that you take from different kinds of worldviews, you basically then connect them so that you can make your own worldview. And also, worldview drives our priorities in life. Basically, like shaping how we nurture families or build societies. How we have a constitution, a country, a world is basically determined by how we interpret the data of life that is the worldview that is connecting us to life. Let's continue to connect the worldview to real life. It says, yeah, worldviews shape history because of the power of ideas it contains. So that means that whatever ideas we have learned about it from somewhere. And that data has allowed for us to actually shape our worldviews, our ideals, because ideas of life are contained in there. Wars, legislatures have been changed because of worldviews. There's an example of Stalin. He killed 20 million Russian people because of a utopia that he felt. It was a worldview that he held. So that means worldviews shape us either for the good or for the bad. It's also very important for us to examine our old world, our own worldviews. So as we are a group of people that live in this world, we have to look at our own views. Do they align with God? Do they align with how God wants us to see other people, even ourselves? So we continue examining what our worldviews are. They are important on a personal level. They explain our relationship with God and our relationship with the world. So how we view God, you realize that however you connect to God has a lot to do with your worldview. You see God as a father, that's your worldview. You see God as a savior, because you know your worldview has been shaped around that. You see your family as a close-knit family, that's how you've been orientated in life. You see friends as a guidance to how you live your life. It's basically how your worldview has been orientated by the data of your life. So our worldviews are connected in that way, that we see things or we see patterns in our lives that happen because our worldviews have been shaped, or continue to be shaped, by how we live life and how we interpret life. Now let's get to the heart or the crux of the matter. There are two ways in which we can look at worldviews. We can look at worldviews as stories. We can also look at worldviews as conceptual or navigational maps. Okay, let's look at the first one as stories. So worldviews can be told in a narrative manner. Remember, it is your story, it is your worldview, it's how you interpret life. So your narrative is your story. We have two examples, but I'm going to start with the first one. We have one, what is biblical Christianity, which says God created heavens and the earth. That's how we understand it. That's how we've come to see it. That's how we've come to learn it. That's how we've basically become to orientate ourselves in that idea. And then the second one is the secular humanism about the material universe, which basically also gives us, I guess, from a scientific point of view as well, some people will talk about the Big Bang theory. Some people will look at the narrative of life or narrative of worldview from a mathematical point of view. But anyway, our narrative can develop presuppositions about the nature of reality. Stories can shape the subconscious of a person. Stories that we build around ourselves, stories that we experience, stories that we live, do shape how we basically view the world and how we presuppose actually things in life. Stories create a generational transference of information. Now, what does this mean? It means that a wealth of information that we've received and the wealth of information that we're going to pass on. Stories shape us. I think we all know that. I can tell my story. My story is important to me. And nobody can tell my story the way I tell my story. Just like you tell your story the way you can, based on how you've lived your life. And actually, your story is best told by you. No one can tell your story as you can tell your story. So stories shape us. Stories contain powerful multi-generational ideas. Remember, we talked about the transference of information. So these multi-generational ideas, in fact, that's also even how you're able to build legacies, because you have these ideas that flow from multi-generation information and also from generation to generation, they're being passed on. Ideas inform how we think about things. So we have an idea, and then that's how we are shaped into thinking about it. And also, the other thing is, the ideas that we receive are usually from the ideas that we've been able to receive from elsewhere. What do I mean by this? We have people that give us information or teach us things. I know you are right now, you're basically learning about Bible school. There is a lot of information that you're receiving from Bible school, and that is going to orientate you. That is going to actually shape how you think and how you view life and how you understand God and how you relate to God in the bigger scope of things. So ideas inform how we think about things based on the information that we have received. These in turn help orient us properly towards reality. Remember, we're talking about reality that is shaped by our worldview. That's why people hold on to your worldviews very tightly. So when you've got an idea or you've got an orientation of what you think the worldview or the meaning of life is, you hold on to it very tightly. That's why we're Christian, right? Somebody had to share the gospel with us, and we had to get to a point where we understand who Jesus is and that he's our Savior. And then we accepted him as our Lord and our Savior. And then we hold that very tightly because that's how we've been orientated. That's how we've received the data of life. So worldviews is our story. Our stories can be our testimonies. Okay, let's look at it one more. A worldview is a map by which we navigate reality. So you look at a map, you want to go somewhere. You haven't been there before, but you want to get there. You take it and you drive with it. So map represents a road. Worldview represents a reality. It's also important to know that the map is not the road, just like a worldview is not the reality. Now, what does that mean? As much as it can guide you to where you want to be, a map is not the actual road. You still have to experience the road for yourself to be able to get there. So it is only a perception. It's only just what you perceive. And because a worldview can be wrong, so we orientate ourselves to these worldviews, we get this information about life, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's the right information. Think about Stalin, the example of Stalin, where he killed 20 million people because of a worldview that he had. That cannot be a right worldview, but it's a worldview that he had, and he was holding it very tightly and very dearly to his heart. There's so many other examples. So our worldviews are a representation of a reality, but they are not reality within themselves. So we get to understand by navigating through life so that we can see that sometimes they guide us, but they're actually not the end all and be all. Let's look at navigational maps one more time. So a takeaway is that a worldview is an important psychological entity to one's life. Secondly, just like a map, it helps you to navigate where you haven't been before. As much as they help with the navigation of life, they cannot fully grasp reality. So a worldview shapes us, it develops us, but it does not mean that we can fully grasp or understand what reality is. Let's look at two philosophical frames. The first one is coherence and the second one is correspondence. Now let's look at coherence. Coherence is the parts of the map that fit together. Now, if you look at a map from just like a Google map right now on your phone, you can see that it always has this, topographical view. I could be wrong. But that view, it basically is what you think you can navigate to get there. So how these parts together, they fit to make life work. Parts of a map that fit together. Second part is I'm measuring how the whole world makes sense. So within the scope of things, how do things tie in together to make a worldview? Now let's look at correspondence. Faith system to deal with life. How do you respond if you pray for someone and that person still dies? How are you going to basically then shape your worldview around yourself or around God? So there are two things also which in the correspondence it talks about. It talks about the broad topics, which are, we talked about it, biblical Christianity and also secular humanism. And also in the macro level, the specific or deeper levels, personal influence or experience and how we process our worldview. All right, let's look at a key passage. I'm going to read the key passage. It's Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That is, by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
Take 10 minutes to reflect on and discuss this session's key Bible passage together with others in your class. If you are watching on your own, take a few minutes to reflect on the key Bible passage by yourself.
All right, let's conclude. So I'm just going to read a few pointers here so that I get them right. Following Jesus is not a spiritual and personal matter. It is a process by which we also change the way we think about the reality and how we live out our faith. So this is the essence of worldviews. We can get philosophical around worldviews and keep it abstract. And in a way, we are forced in this module to keep the discussion about worldviews very broad. But the real battle is for our minds and how we are able to compare how others tell us how life works, even if sometimes the people in church, and how the Bible tells us how life works.
Take 15 minutes to reflect on and discuss the following points together with others in your class. If you are watching on your own, take a few minutes to reflect on the points by yourself. You can find the discussion points in your Bible school handbook. Look out for the Living the Word sections in each session.